Welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's all stand and sing this morning.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry the kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing the dawn alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb. Till I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Oh,
Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Daniel 4:37 we read, "Praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven." Let's praise our Lord and Savior by singing "Praise to the Lord the Almighty," page 8. Soul.
And close me there with his hand.
page 29, singing, Glorify Thy Name.
Good morning. There we go. Yeah. We'd like to welcome our first-time guest to Assurance Baptist Church this morning. If you could just raise your hand. Raise your hand. We got a gift for you. We just ask that you would just fill out the welcome packet and just turn it into the offering plate at the end. But it's glad to be back in the Assurance Baptist Church house here this morning. I was on vacation, me and my wife, for 10 days, different places, and it was a good vacation, but Pastor gave me the okay to give you guys something. For while I was on 10 days, I learned something amazing. I became a musician, but I'll let you guys kind of ponder on it a little bit, and I'm going to do it at the end, because I don't want to hurt you. I don't want you guys leaving before the good preaching starts, but just keep in mind the ones that couldn't be here this morning due to sickness or that's traveling on vacation. Keep them up in your prayers. Again, good morning, everybody, and it's good to be back. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I ask that you just open up our hearts to your word. Lord, if there's someone in here that don't know you, that they come to know you for it's eternally too late. Lord, I ask that you be the ones that need to make decisions this morning, if it's joining, if it's baptism, or whatever it is, that, Lord, that you tug on their heart and that they can come. Lord, I ask that you just be with the preaching this morning, that you'd hide our pastor behind the cross, that you'd speak through him, and, Lord, that we'd hear through your word clearly. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your name, pray. Amen.
The sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. creation testify. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and he lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life he gave, but now he's alive.
Such fond memories of Sister Maddie singing that. At our second Easter, we were displaced from the school we were renting when we were starting the church, and she sang that outside at our second Easter and in the cold and sleet, and our papers were blowing off the stand and everything else. People were sitting in their cars and their windshield wipers. I didn't know if they were saying amen or they just couldn't see us. And so all Sister Maddie singing that song and very fond memories of that. Well, we are so glad that you're here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, I'm so glad. As the pastor of Assurance Baptist Church, it's always great to see new faces here, and so welcome. We're glad you're here, and you're here for a great Sunday. Every Sunday is great here, but this Sunday we start a new sermon series, and it's called An Encouraging Word. Several times in the Bible says, and the Lord, or the voice of the Lord, came unto someone. And today we're going to see the word of the Lord come unto Abram. And we're looking at this. But this morning, the subtitle is An Encouraging Word, The Doolittle Doctrine. The Doolittle Doctrine. If you've ever watched the movie or read the old books, Dr. Doolittle, you know that Dr. Doolittle can hear animals and no one else can hear them, and they all think he's crazy. Now, sometimes other people can't see what God's doing in your life, but it's because they can't hear what God's telling you. Wasn't for everyone in this story we read today. It was only for Abram. Word, and it's an encouraging word for you and I today. Here in our text, we find ourselves today in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, the words appear on the screen. If you need a physical copy, they are in the back of the seat. If you need to own a physical copy, please see me after service. Bible for you. If you need a copy of scripture, better than the one that's in the back of the pew there, a larger print, and we'll be glad to give you a copy of the scripture today. Now, before we stand, I want you to understand what's going on here. Abram is returning from war. The kings of the east went to war with the kings of the west, and Abram gets a bitter enemy, the king of Elam here. And Abram's nephew, Lot, had been taken. And as Lot had been taken down to Sodom and Gomorrah, where he would end up living, and you know the story there, and if you don't know the story there, keep insisting you'll find it. Abram is now afraid. War, his life is at risk, and he's moving to a place that God has told him to go, and he's still not reached that place. And there's much fear with him and his young wife. But Abram has come to a place where he realizes and senses that he may die. And so here Abram says, God, if I die, I have no seed. I have no son to take up my legacy. And so we pick up in Genesis 15 and verse 1. If you'll stand with me, if you're able, for the reading and honoring of God's word here this morning, an encouraging word, the Doolittle Doctrine. Not always can everybody hear what with, and we want to see how God encourages us in his word today. And we see Genesis 15 and verse 1 says, speaking of after these things, it's after this war went on, after Lot had been taken down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and pays tithes of all to him. This is a prefiguration of Christ to come. So after those things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my slave he probably picked up on his journey, and that was the only man that would have taken up his stead. But God says to Abram, seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. But God says, and behold, came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. That's important today. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask today that you would help us and guide us, Lord, as we look through the scriptures today, to encouraging word, that it will bring those things about as it brought to Abram that day. Lord, in this private conversation Abram has with God, Lord, sometimes other people on the outside, his wife wouldn't get it later on. She didn't understand it. And the people around him, but sometimes the word is just for us to encourage us. Lord, we want to see that today. That when everybody message today leaves this place, that they'll be encouraged in your word. Lord, Father, we ask today that you would help us and guide us and bless us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, we see God's word encourages peace. God's word encourages peace. In verse 1, we see the text tells us that Abram was nervous. If you pull up verse 1 there, you'll understand he says, fear not. Now, this is interesting. This is the first time in the entire Bible that that phrase is used, fear not. And as it's used here, it's the first, but it won't be the last, will it? Brother Philip just read that scripture this morning, one of those scriptures this morning. Look at Joshua 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what did he say? Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of the war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thee, unto thy hand, the king of Ai and his people and this city and his land. Joshua's afraid, and he says, fear not. He's given him peace. Look at Judges 6:23-24, what he says to Gideon. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. It means the Lord is peace, a name of God, a banner name of God. Unto this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abizzites. Now, keep going here and look at Isaiah 41:10, what Brother Philip read this morning. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My personal favorite, look at Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. of whom shall I be afraid? It's not on our screens this morning, but it makes me think of the verse, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Fred Hammond sang it one time, and he said, no weapon formed against me. And he did that thing like gospel singers do, where he held it, me shall prosper. And I can't do it that well, but I like that. I like that. He was holding it out. Mary and Joseph. God told Mary and Joseph, fear not. Because the baby that's about to come from you, Mary, Joseph, that you're going to help raise up, he says, fear not, because I want you to have peace, because what's coming from you is the Prince of Peace. Amen. When you hear God's word, it gives you a peace that, watch this, all my Bible readers today, the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's say it again. The peace that passeth all understanding. When the word of God encourages you, when the word of God comes upon you, even in situations of death and desperation, as Abram, it gives you the peace that passeth all understanding. Anybody had a big mama? Maybe you're here today and you are somebody's big mama. Now understand what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about, that's what we used to call grandma back in the day. It wasn't like a derogatory term. Big mama might only be 100 pounds, but that was just her name. Now, my big mamas were big mamas in my family. My great-grandma Settles, she was a big mama. And very early in my life, she was the best Christian person I knew. We didn't go to church every Sunday, but she was a devout Christian, and her Bible looked like I don't know, it looked like a pinned road map. It had writings and sayings and underlines. And I said, Grandma, why do you underline everything in that Bible? Why do you underline? She said, because it's all good. And Grandma Settles, she died when I was about 11 years old. But I can remember as a child, bad storms. They lived on a big farm down in Chicken Hollow Road near Ripley, Ohio. And a storm would come through, and they had an old storm cellar. I ain't going in that storm cellar. And everybody else would be out there trying to hide or doing whatever. And Granny, she, Big Mama, would just stay in the house. And I remember I ain't in that storm cellar. I just lay on Big Mama's lap. Big Mama would rub my head and rub her hands through my hair. No jokes, please. But she'd rub, I had hair then. I was only 11. I had a nice hair then. And she'd rub her hands through my hair. She'd say, baby, it's going to be okay. The Lord will protect us. He's got us. And it bring much peace. When I got a little older, 13, 14 years old, I began to suffer from anxiety and panic attacks and generalized anxiety. And my mom's best friend had a mother who was a new big mama to me, and Miss Evelyn McGee. And she was a great singer. She sounded like Mahalia Jackson, literally, when she sang. And I remember being afraid and having anxiety. And we'd go over, and we'd be at my mom's best friend's house. And Miss McGee, we went to church with her for a while, and we'd be there. And I'd lay on her chest, and she'd hum, and I can remember her humming Amazing Grace in my ear. It would bring a peace over my body and a calm to me, and I just wanted to be around Big Mama. I'd lay up on, I'm 13, 14 years old, 6 foot, 250 pounds, you know, and I'm laying all up on Big Mama like a little baby, and she bringing so much peace to me, and so much, you know, God, his word does that for us. God's word is an encouraging word, isn't it? And we can go to it. And even when nobody else can't hear the word God's giving to you, you can hear it, and it brings you peace. And it brings you a certain amount of calm in your life, and it encourages. Number two, God's word encourages our protection. Look back at verse 1 there for a moment. He says, fear not, but he also says, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. The word here is rendered in the Hebrew as I am your sovereign. Because God's sovereignty, God says, I'm the king of all the world. If I say it's okay, if I'm protecting you, then it's all okay. If God's protecting you, nobody can't get to you. The word sovereignty has become hotly debated and argued even in Baptist circles because of Calvinism and other things. But I want you to understand. The real root of the word sovereign just means this, that it's a shield. And that God knows that nobody can get to you if he's blocking you. That's what a shield does. My training pastor's wife is here. this morning, it made me think about it. It's not my notes, Miss Teresa, but one time we were at a preacher's meeting, and Pastor McInerney said, Brother Bryson, this is kind of like the Secret Service. Would you take a bullet for me? Would you stand and be my human shield? And I remember my friend Ben Miller was with us. I said, no, but I'll throw Ben in the way. You know what I mean? Like, God says, I'll take the bullet for you. I'll take the pain for you. I'll protect you. I am your sovereign, so I have the authority and the rule to see past your problems and get in the way of the wicked one, of the evil, right at the right time when you need it. God's word encourages us that we are protected through the shield of God, through the power of God, because of the sovereignty of God. My Uncle Darren, he's my uncle by marriage, and that aunt passed away, but I still call him Uncle Darren and still see him. A couple of my assistants, Brandon Carter, met him. We were down in Ripley once going to Maysville, and Uncle Darren, he was the cool uncle when I was a kid. You know, he was the guy that could cut your hair and would take you to play basketball, get you milkshakes, and he was that kind of guy. He was younger, so he was a little younger than my parents, my dad's younger sister. And I remember when I broke my ankle one time, Uncle Darren picked me up and took care of me and wrapped me all up. But I remember this one time, I had to be 12 or 13 years old, and we were down at a festival. It's called the Tobacco Festival in Ripley, and we were down there walking, and a fight broke out. Grown men are fighting. And we were walking down to the rides, and Uncle Darren was walking before me. And I remember Uncle Darren putting his arm out to stop me from going forward. He just kind of stopped me from going forward, and he stood in the way. And these guys are, I mean, they're going at it. And I have no idea what they're going about. I assume now that alcohol was probably involved. And he's standing there. And Uncle Darren got in the way, and what he was saying to me was, nephew, I'll take the blows for you. Now, Uncle Darren's kind of a bad cat. I figured if they would have hit Uncle Darren, he probably would have whooped them. But it never came to that point. He just shielded me. And what he was saying was, I'm bigger than you. And I'm stronger than you, and I'm more able than you. And so instead of you trying to get here and be in the path of the danger, I'm going to get in front of you, and I'm going to shield you. And it reminds me of Jesus. Jesus says, let me shield you because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And he said, nothing's too hard for God. And listen, the cross wasn't too hard for him, was it? Aren't you so glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross and shielded you from death, hell, and the grave by taking your iniquity and my iniquity upon him and killing it and burying it? And he protected us because he's our sovereign, because he's able, because God's word says there to Abram, I am thy shield. The Lord tells David, I am thy shield and thy buckler. You know in the great Psalm 23, he says, hey, thy rod and thy staff, they come from me. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, your tools are better than my tools. Your tools are able to protect me from the storm. Number three, God's word encourages promise. Look at verses 2-4. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Watch the promise here. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Can I just say this to you, that God has a big promise for you? God has a big promise for you. Watch what happens here. Stay with me. Abram asked for just one son. Am I reading the text correctly? He said, I have no heir. I just need a son. He asked for one son. And God said, no, you'll have many. We sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons. If you're saved by grace through faith today, you're a son of Abraham. He said, Abraham just wants one son. And God says, no, you'll have many sons. He asked for one thing, and God said everything. He asked for one son, and God said, no, you're going to have a whole nation spark out of you. And actually, all people of the earth, all nations are going to come to you and be blessed by you. Can I just, as an aside, say to you, God's word encourages you. He encourages promise to you. And so when you're asking God for a promise, don't be like Abram and ask for something small. Stop asking for a job. Ask for a good job. Stop asking for a man. Ask for a good man. If you're a woman. In this day and age, I got to make sure I say that. If you're a woman and you're asking for a man, ask for a good man. If you're a man and you're asking for a woman, ask for a good woman. If you're asking for health, ask for good health. If you're asking for life, ask for a good life. Stop asking God for small things and start asking God for what God is able to do. Don't ask him for one thing. Ask him for everything, because he's the God of an abundance, and his word encourages us that it's promised. God has a big promise for you, and the next thing that happens there is Abram believed it, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. My daughter, Savea, it's no secret. I don't have a favorite child, but Savea has a favorite parent. It's me. And it's no secret, on Wednesdays and Sundays, she rides home with me, and she said, Dad, can I go with you? And, you know, when they were little, my kids, they knew that if they went with Dad, that's usually when they got a snack, because Dad's going to stop at the gas station and get a Diet Dew and a fudge round or something like that. And as they get older, it doesn't happen as much. But Savea, you know, Savea's 3 years younger than Xavier. So we had Grayson and Xavier. They're 13 months apart. And after all the hellish behaviors they put us through, we were finally ready to have another child, and God bless us with a little girl. Now, all you fathers out there that are girl dads, you know it's a little different when you have a girl. And that little girl came, and I'm not going to lie, she got very spoiled very fast. Not just by me, but her brothers too. And when you hear that girl cry for the first time, it's different than the boy cry, and I thought there was cats in the house. I didn't know. It's just different. It's just different. And when Savea was little, I worked third shift, so during the day it would just be me and the kids, and Savea was never really down. She was always up on my lap, and I sang to her, and we had a good time, but I could throw Savea in the air, you know, and catch her when she was, not when she was like a newborn, but you know what I mean, when she was stable enough to have that. And you see her up in the air, and then, you know, the boys are 4 or 5 years old, and they're like, Daddy, do it to me. And I'm like, probably not too safe, you're too heavy, you know, but Savea could go. And the more I did it, the higher she wanted to go. You know, we'd start here, and she'd laugh and giggle, and more, Daddy, and more and more. And she was a very simple girl. When I would go to work sometimes at nighttime, depending on what, if I was working 12-hour shifts, I'd go at 7 p.m., so sometimes I'd leave when they were awake, and she would say to me, Daddy, you throw me in the air tomorrow? I said, yeah, and she would say, she couldn't talk all the way correctly. She said, you promise? You promise? I said, yeah, I promise. I'll throw you in the air tomorrow. And the older she got, the higher she wanted to go. But you know what happened? The more she believed the promise that not only could I provide what I was promising, but that I would catch her every time. I never dropped her. See, the more God promises you, when he starts providing the promise, and you see it, the higher you can ask, the more you can ask for, the bigger the ask is, because you've seen God do it over and over and over again. And so you say, Lord, throw me higher. You promise, Lord, throw me a little higher the next time, and a little higher the next time, because you're absolutely 100% sure that he's going to catch you every single time. God's word encourages promise. Remember I said a couple weeks ago, put God's word back on God? God, Lord, you said it, and I believe it. So, Lord, if you said, whom shall I fear? That means I don't have to fear anybody. Then what are we worried about? You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. If you pray, you never have to worry. But if you worry, then there ain't no reason to pray. Because God said, I am thy shield. I am thy buckler. Do you believe him? Abram believed it, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, we're going somewhere. Let's look at number 4 today. God's word encourages portion. Now, portion in the English language means a part of, but it also means a person's destiny, or if you've ever heard that word lot, it means somebody's lot. Look at verse 5 and 6. God's word encourages portion. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. And tell the stars if thou be able to number them. You know, there is said that there are over 8,000 visible stars from earth. And if thou be able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I should say 8,000 stars seen from the eastern sky where Abram was at that time. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I love the song, but the song says, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Amen. It is well with my soul. Abraham believed that God had a portion, a destiny, a lot for him. He had something out there. And you got to remember what Abraham's going through. He don't have no child. He's being chased by these kings. The Egyptians have tried to kill him because his wife was so hot. He's going on. God told him to get up out of Haran and go to a place that I've chosen. And he ain't even close to there yet. And now Abraham's going, God, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say because of your word that it is well with my soul. When it isn't well with my health, it's well with my soul. When it isn't well with my wealth, it is well with my soul. When it isn't well with my mind, it is well with my soul, because the Lord has said you have a portion and it's promised. And when God tells us and encourages us in his word that there's a destiny, that's the actual final destiny. Look at the book of Lamentations 3 and verse 24. The Lord is, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Remember this. Abram first believed the promise of a coming son. When he first, in those scriptures, the first thing he believed that God said, it went in stages. The first thing he believed is that God was going to give him a son, an heir. Before God said, now come over here and let me show you the stars, he believed he was going to have at least one son coming as his portion, as his final destination. Now we know that Abram goes on and has an Ishmael first and then has to come to Isaac, the son of promise. That's human error, but he's still got a son of promise. You know, God promises us here in the Bible that there's a portion and a son. 20 years ago on Fife Avenue in Wilmington, Ohio, I got a portion in the son, Jesus Christ. 5 years ago in an elementary school, Logan and Bethany Hatcher got a portion, a son in the Lord. A few months ago, Sister Abby walked down and she got a portion, a son, the heir of God, and got the Lord. Now, I want you to just allow me to get excited for a moment, and you get excited with me. If you can't get excited about this, something's wrong with you. But you see, this son that we speak of being Jesus Christ, this son that Abram was being told about would be Isaac, but it's the promise to Christ. So ultimately, the long-term fulfillment of the prophecy is that from the loins of Abram would come the Messiah of the world, Jesus Christ. This son was the one who was the portion in Noah's Ark. This son is the portion who was the portion at Moses' Red Sea. This portion is the balm in Jeremiah's Gilead. This portion is the rock in a dry and weary land. And David, this portion is the God of all the universe who came to die on the cross to pay for your sin and my sin. This man, Jesus Christ, this son, he's the one that is the word of God who encourages us in this word and is able to provide all of these things. This son is my portion. It's good and my salvation, and believe in it and it will be counted unto you for righteousness. Let me quickly surmise and be closing this morning, and I want you to get this. So we called it the Doolittle Doctrine. Somebody here today needs to be encouraged through the Word of God. Somebody here today is down and destitute. There's a situation going on in your life. There's a problem going on in your life. Your relationship's not too good. You got some little hellish children at home that don't want to act right. You got people at your job that don't want to act good. You got some things going on around you. Circumstances you can't control. Just like Abram, this war broke out. He didn't have nothing to do with it, but he was in the area, and so they came against him too. You got some things going on in your life that just aren't there, and you need the encouragement of God's word, and nobody else can hear it because nobody else is having this private conversation. Nobody else needs to know what you need to be encouraged by today. But be very, very clear that today you can be encouraged with God's word and get peace. Today you can go to the scripture. You can go to the Lord in prayer and everything. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you can go to the rock of your salvation today, the joy of your salvation today. You can go to the author and finisher of your faith today, and you can go to him and you can find peace, this peace like a river, this peace that passeth all understanding. You can find it today because it's available, because his name is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. God encourages you today. You're struggling with something. Some of you kids are out there at school and there's bad things going on and there's bullies and there's people talking nasty and you say, I'm a Christian and you need the protection of God. Rest assured today that God encourages you today that he can protect you, that he'll be your shield. He'll shield your young ears. He'll shield your young body. He'll shield you from these things. You might hear it, but it won't get attached to you. Because listen, when you're holding the shield and the gunfire hits the shield, you heard the gunfire, but the bullet never touched you. Listen, this morning, you can understand you're going to hear gunfire all over the world, but when the shield, the sovereign of our faith, is in front of you, nothing's going to touch you. Understand that he's willing to take the blows for me. Literally on the Passion, on the Via del Rosa, he took the blows for me. The punches, the plucking of the beard, the blindfolding, the spitting upon, the whippings, all that Jesus took for us. He was shielding us so that we didn't have to take it. And by his stripes, we are healed. God's word encourages promise today. We've got to start looking not just promise, but big promise. We got to start looking past what we think we need and start praying for what God wants us to have. I'm going to tell y'all right now, God, I've been waiting for a couple of years to get a truck. God don't want me to have a little truck. He wants me to have a big truck. 3,500, something in cherry red. I'm not going to wait around and just keep on asking for a little truck and, God, give me a Ranger or something. No. You know, I would be satisfied with that, but I know God's got something out there for me with a Hemi in it. You know what I'm talking about. Perhaps he wants me to have a dually. I'm not pulling nothing. He just wants me to have it. I don't know. We got to stop praying. See, Christians, we pray with a small mind. Because that's all we're capable of providing. I know so many young men and women, they dating a ragamuffin. This is the example coming to my mind. They dating a ragamuffin. They dating somebody that ain't no good. And they think, they say this, well, I just don't want to be alone. Now, you know me. I love me some me, Jake. I'm okay being alone. But look, I want you to be clear. When you ask God, ask for somebody good. Brother Anthony McGee's sick this morning, but his wife's sitting right there, and he always tells a story. He was looking for a woman, and he talked to his dad, and he said, did you ask him? He's like, who are you talking about? Did I ask who? He's like, the Lord, did you ask? Oh. And you say, we don't want to just pray for any woman. Let's pray for a good woman. And Sister Crystal came into his life, and praise be to God, because I don't know where Anthony would be without Crystal. The bail money would have to be hot and ready, like Little Caesar's pizza. Miss Crystal, praise God for you, sissy, but we need to stop praying for these little, I know the Bible says despise not the days of small things, but that's not what he's talking about. But when God is able, Abram was just praying for one son. God, just give me one son. And God said, I don't want to give you one. I want to give you a lot. Now look, me and Brother Logan were talking about donuts this morning. We see some of y'all ladies and, you know, we were talking about crumble cookie or donuts and y'all slice it in half and stuff. Don't slice my crumble cookie in half. I want the whole thing. They said, do you know how many calories that is? No, because I didn't look. Why would I disturb my good time and look at the nutrition facts? Do I look like I'm concerned about nutrition? No, I'm not. They say, well, I'm just going to eat a little bite of this donut. And Logan's talking about the ladies back at his old work. They said, they slice that donut in half. He said, it wouldn't be 2 minutes before they came back for the rest of that donut. Baby, just get that whole donut. You knew you wanted that whole donut. Don't let nobody judge you. The Lord will protect you from being judged on that. He promised you could have that big donut. Just go and get it. They putting a crumble in the roundabout right by my house in Troy, Ohio. And I said, you know, it's probably not good for my diabetes, but it is well with my soul, Brother Chuck. You heard what I'm saying? Give me the six-pack. Chocolate chip, lemon, strawberry. What else they got in there? You know what I mean? Red velvet cake. I mean, whatever they got, I want. You know what I'm talking about? So the Lord's promised me. He said, you know, I prayed. I said, God, this is true. I said, God, I just want one opportunity when my kids were little. I just want one opportunity to have a daughter. When the boys came first, I was done with little boys. I said, Lord God, tear up everything in this house. We need a delicate flower to come into this place. And I said, Lord, I pray, just give me $1. And God said, I don't want to give you $1. I want to give you two. And here it came. I had to beg for Jaleesa and Chandra. She said this. This is a true story. She said, we'll have another kid if you can promise me it's a girl. Now, I was close to the Lord back then, but I wasn't as close to him as I am now. Now I might have been like, you know what, Lord? You heard what my wife said, and you want us to stay together, right? But I said, oh, okay. I said, all right. And you know, being who I am, I said, I promise. That it's definitely going to be a girl. Boy, we went to get that ultrasound. I was nervous. I was in there. I don't even chew my nails. I was in there like this, like, That little text, she said, it's a girl. I said, I told you. I was in there doing the gritty and everything. I was going crazy. Gritty. You know, God said, I don't want to just give you one. I want to give you another one. Fill my cup. And the cup runneth over. Now, it's not all just about children. God may not, he may not bless you with children. That's not the whole, that's not, this is an illustration. Understand what I'm saying here. Because there's lots of other things God wants to bless you. But stop asking God for one. Stop asking God for one thing when he's able to give you everything. I'm not going in there and asking for one crumble cookie. They got six packs. It's cheaper. I've done the math. You know what I'm talking about? Brother Randy, you like macaroni and cheese? Y'all love macaroni and cheese, right? My daughter, Savea, she loves macaroni and cheese. I go to Kroger and they got a deal. You know, you get the box of five and it's about 26 cents cheaper than if you just bought five individually. Now, I do the math. I'm not good at math, but when it comes to being cheap, I'm very good at math. You know what I mean? I said, well, let's get the box of five. Why get four when we can get five for a cheaper price? You know what I'm talking about? And when that macaroni and cheese comes home, it tastes different when you know it was cheaper. I don't know why, but it tastes better. It's more cheesier when you know it was cheaper in my mind. So why would I go to Kroger and say, Lord, just give me four boxes of mac and cheese when God's able to provide five for a cheaper price? God's able to give you exceedingly and abundantly above what you even thought for or you asked, according to the scripture. I want you to be encouraged today that your lot, your portion, your destiny in the Lord. Can I finish the story here today? Because I want to make sure that my friends that may not know understand today. Abram went through these things and he went through some trying times. But at the end of the story, when Abram is buried in the sepulcher, he has a son of promise named Isaac. He has another son named Ishmael, and Ishmael was born in a different way. I don't have time to get into that, but understand both of his sons were blessed with two different type of names. But ultimately, his son of promise, Isaac, went on to birth a young man named Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those tribes, the son of promise, is by a young man named Judah, born of his mother Leah. And through Judah comes the lion of the tribe of Judah, whose name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because Abram prayed for one son, God said, I'm able to give you many today if you are saved. If you're saved, you are a son or daughter of Abraham today. His name was changed later. His name was changed as Abraham. It becomes Abraham because his name gets longer because the promise gets bigger. If you're here today and you're not saved, can I say to you that the promise and your portion, the peace, and all these things will come and be multiplied unto you today. It starts with belief that God gave a son. And that son's name was Jesus. And through him, all people can be saved and be adopted into the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can I encourage you today, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that you would take this moment here in just a second. Be so still and so quiet. I'm asking everybody else, be still, be quiet. Not time to get your purse, not time to get your keys, not time to go to the restroom. Time to bow your head in reverence and be quiet so that somebody could be saved today. And I want you to hear the words of the Bible. See, listen, today I'm just a preacher, but I'm preaching from the Word of God, and the Word of the Lord has come unto you today. And today you can believe God at his promise, and today it can be counted unto you for righteousness. That means you can be given all the righteousness of God, which means everything will be right with you. Even while you're still a sinner, God is so powerful, he's able to shield you from your demise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed today. Father God, we desire a fresh meeting and a fresh anointing with you today. There may be some here today that have never called upon your name and made you their personal Lord and Savior. And today, Lord, we want that to be known to them and how they can receive you today and believe upon a son in promise. As the music begins to play, I would call upon those friends today that couldn't answer this question with 100% certainty. If you can't today with 100% assurance say, if I died today, I know that I would wake up in heaven. Then, friend, I'm talking directly to you from the words of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all made mistakes, what the Bible calls sin. If you've broken one commandment, if you've lied, you're a liar. If you've stolen, you're a thief. If you've ever been jealous, you're a coveter. If you've ever looked upon someone that was not your husband or wife, you're an adulterer. Because of that sin, you'd be separated eternally from God without a Savior who will save you from death and hell and that punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin or what you do on earth is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is his Son. So God, in his sovereignty as the shield, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said he sent his son Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants you to believe on this son so that today it can be counted unto you for righteousness, that you can be made right with God. There'll be no more penalty of death for you. You'll be free. Whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. So today, what do I have to believe, Pastor Bryson? Well, I have to believe the gospel. What is the gospel? That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why we celebrate Easter Sunday. That Jesus went to the cross and died. He was a one-time sufficient sacrifice, substituting his body with your body, atoning, paying for your sin with his own body. And when he killed that on the cross, he went to the grave for 3 days so that your sins no longer remember. What you did 20 years ago when you're saved don't matter to God. What you do 20 years from now, if you're really saved, it don't matter to God. He no longer remembers it, the Bible says. And then he rose the third day in the greatest day in the history of mankind on that first Easter Sunday. And when he rose, he proved that he had defeated death, hell, sin, and the grave. And today, Jesus is able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father or gets to heaven except by me or through me. So how do I believe that today? Well, you believe in your heart. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and that God did raise him from the dead. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you answered that question at the beginning, I can't. But right now you're having a Doolittle moment. God's word is encouraging and talking to you and you alone. Nobody else knows what's going on in your mind and your heart right now, but you are hearing God speak to you. If that's you today, you say, Pastor Bryson, I need to be saved and know it. I'm not going to come to your seat. Not going to come to your seat or call your name. I may not even know who you are, but I want to be able to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you in silence right here on this platform. But I do pray that if you prayed a prayer today or if you asked God into your heart, said, Lord, I need to be saved, I would say, let somebody know so that you can get on your journey with Jesus properly. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there one in the room today that says, Pastor Bryson, I heard that today and I want to call on that name of Jesus. On my left-hand side, your right. Anybody would just raise their eyes to me so I could pray for you. Yeah, Pastor, that was me today. I prayed. I'm looking for you. I'm asking God to save me. I'm hearing his voice right now. Anybody on my left, your right that just says, that's me, would just look right up and right back down. this morning. Anybody like that at all? What about on my right, your left? Says, that's me today, Pastor. I want to make that clear to you that I'm asking the Lord to come into my heart today. On my right, your left today. Anybody like that at all today that says, that's me? And I wonder to the Christian today, are you encouraged in the Word of God? Are you encouraged by the things that God has for you and the way God loves you and protects you? Maybe you're here today and you say, I need to be scripturally baptized. I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a church, a home church, a place where you can go and be fed and have fellowship and love and grow and serve the Lord. Maybe that's you today. You say, I need to make myself a member of this church from a like church and come forward today. Or maybe I need to be baptized today. Whatever it is, decisions. Maybe you just need to pray to God. Maybe God spoke to you and he's encouraging you and one of those points are all. And you want to come to the altar today and say, God, I don't want to pray for the small part of it. I want the whole thing today. Whatever it is today, I pray that you would do business with the Lord and that we would do it right now. As Brother Chuck sings the first note, you come, fill the altar. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen.
Singing, Jesus is calling. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love you can roam further and farther away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today. Is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with your sins at his feet, lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh listen to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Amen. Glad and thankful for all of you folks who are with us this morning, for our visitors. If you're visiting with us, we don't ask for any money from you. If you would, put your visitor card in that basket as the guys come through this morning. We greatly appreciate that. And so let's pray for our offering. If we could have our guys come forward here, and then after the offering, you can be seated. We'll receive the morning offering. You give back to the Lord as he's been blessed you. For our members and our friends, reminder, there is online giving. And so if you are a person of that ilk, you can find that information in your bulletin as well. And I want to remind the choir, we do have choir rehearsal tonight, and then Brother Brandon will give you some announcements, and apparently he's going to play some kind of instrument or something. I don't know. I'm a little nervous, but it's a reason to stick around. Amen? All right, let's pray for the offering. Father God, thank you for this day you have given us. We pray for the gift and the giver today, Lord, that you would that we would use these offerings, these tithes, Lord, all over the world wisely, stewarding them for your glory. Father, we ask these things today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thursday, September 7th at 6:30, we'll be meeting at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds, 645 Infirmary Road here in Dayton, Ohio, parked near the basketball hoops. We're going to go out and hand out some tracts and invite people to church. Next thing is our Young at Hearts 55 and Over ministry. This is Thursday, September 14th. They'll be going to Fountain City there in Indiana, so make sure you bring some money for that. If you're going to be riding in the church van, meet at the church at 10:15. If you have any information, please see Brother Chuck for that. 10:15, yep. 5 years praise service is our final 5 years of praise service leading up to our fifth year anniversary will be Wednesday, September 6th at 7 p.m. There will be no noon service that day. Remember that. No noon service. Next thing is our Salt and Light Bible study is beginning Thursday, September 7th after school in the Northmont Middle School in room 201. High school students can go to that as well. And then also, this isn't in the bulletin, the teens might have said something, but there is a youth event this Friday from 5 to 8. I was on vacation, so I wasn't able to get talk to preacher about that. But so, yes. Then last thing is come celebrate our five-year anniversary, Sunday, September 17th at 10 a.m. Sold-out quartet is going to be there at 10 a.m. It's going to be at the Calumet Center, not here. Remember that. Put that in your calendar, but it's at the Calumet Center. There's going to be inflatables. There's going to be Kona ice. There's going to be a smoked meat lunch following the service. There's also going to be a cornhole tournament, but it's for sixth grade and up. Teams must be registered during the 10 a.m. worship service, so no random person can just show up at the end of service. You have to be present for the 10 a.m. worship service. And then also, this just got added. Write it down, put it in your calendar, but there will be a food truck there that day as well. So if you don't like pork, I think this is going to be chicken and fish, if I heard right. So bring money for that. Also, you might have saw on the welcome table that there's ABC Apparel Shop. If you want to order a shirt, I think there's jackets and maybe a sweatshirt. Please return it with a payment to Sister Nancy. Orders will not be placed without a payment, so make sure you pay ahead. So with that being said, you guys probably been waiting peacefully in your seats for this wonderful surprise. I told the teens that they had a surprise. But for this backstory real quick, so me and my wife, we had the opportunity to go into Nashville. We had wonderful barbecue there. And I bought this cool instrument, and I said, man, I could play this thing. And so we went to the Grand Ole Opry, and I said, oh, I think I can, I can't sing, but I think I can play something. So I got this wonderful instrument here. A lot of you guys know what it is, a good old harmonica.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm going to play just a quick tune that I learned just, you know, in a quick beat. If you guys want to, you know, a quick session, it costs money, and, you know, I take payments ahead of time. Here we go.
When the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saint of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen. See you this evening.